Now you should listen to this, because this concerns you.
This is about a evil genius in love.
Headed for the door. And I wouldn't walk through anymore. And if I never ever woke again.
Friends and neighbors, it's me, Dave Slusher, your podcast buddy. This is the Evil Genius Chronicles for Monday, October 9th, 2006. And I apologize, I got hypnotized by my own music there. This continues our wrap-up from the Podcast and Portable Media Expo in Ontario, California. It's been 8 days since I got back. I am still exhausted. That's what the time I had there. And in fact, you're going to hear... when you hear my voice in these interviews, as it gets progressively more ragged out and just haggard sounding, you can probably tell what's going on. But before we get to all that, the business, this music you're listening to, the guitar solo that rocks my world so hard, the Gentle Readers, they're at gentlereaders.com. I love them. Gentle Readers, gentlereaders.com. The show is Creative Commons licensed, non-commercial attribution. If you're going to use something from it, you cannot be charging for it. And you got to say where you got it from. Beyond that, go crazy, cheering. Show tends not to be work safe or kids safe. The brown word will make at least a few appearances this show, and who knows what else, depending on what happens when the lizard brain takes over. All right, before we get into the stuff, and this will basically be all interview all the time till we're gone, but I'm going to play some music anyway. This is some music that I was given at the PME this year by the artist and Lance Heath, who was helping promote her. Lance gave me a copy of her CD and said, hey, play it if you like it. This is Whitney Steele from her album. I guess it's an EP called... it's an EP. It's got six songs on it. I guess it's called Storm Warning, which is one of the songs. It's what what's printed on the spine, but I can't actually tell if that's the name of the EP as a whole. But regardless, this is her song, Stumble, the acoustic version of said song. So here we go, Whitney Steele.
Nice and slow, if you just let go, the wind might blow you right back to me. Cause I'm all alone, and I want you to know that I miss you and the way you made me feel. All the things I should have said are always running through my head. Cause I'd stumble and fall for no reason at all when I was with you. Push everyone away. Broken dreams of a love that could have been so special, but now belongs to someone new. Is my destiny to be alone? Is Cupid's arrow like a stone that missed me the way that I miss you? All the things I should have said were always running through my head. Cause I'd stumble and fall for no reason at all when I was with you. Push someone else away. push someone else away. Forgive me for what I am and the things I do. Just love me for who I am. So when I stumble and fall for no reason at all, should I forget to say the right things to make you stay?
Whitney Steele, her song Stumble, the acoustic version of it. And thank you for giving me your CD at the PME, Whitney. Okay, let us not fart around. Let's get straight to the interviews. We're going to start out with Ray Slikinski, a friend of the show, the original sponsor of the show. Now, if you listen in this show, Ray busts my balls about something to show what a bad person I am. The thing he busts my balls about never, ever, ever occurred to me until, like, he said it. It never occurred to me. So just keep that in the back of your mind. And when it comes up and when you hear Ray giving me a hard time, think about that. That's what a turd of a human man I am. That's the first I ever thought about it. Okay, here we go. Ray Slikinski from PME. I'm here at the Portable Media Expo with Ray Slikinski, man of a thousand hats. Quick, run down the various hats that you're involved with.
Okay, well, we can start at the beginning. Transistor, which was formerly known as iPod RX, which was a long-term sponsor of your show, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you are correct, sir.
Probably so. I have a hand a little bit in PodioBooks.com, and my latest project, which is PopCurrent.com, which is all about getting your stuff, promoting your stuff, opening up your audience to the mass audience that may or may not have ever heard of podcasting. What it is a site where people submit media, whether it be video, audio, talks, all music. And we have MySpace people there, YouTube people, all coming to the site to vote on stuff, on all the submissions that we're getting. And what happens is that someone that's coming in for a band ends up seeing a podcast right below. It's never heard of it before. The description sounds somewhat interesting, and it's got lots of votes for it. And they listen, and now they know about podcasting, and now they're somewhat interested in it, and they start checking out other things. So we're getting a lot of that cross-pollination, which is great, because the current issue and the problem and the reason that we created the website is you have to know podcasting in order to get your, like, dip your toe in. And what we're now doing is just taking podcasting out of the loop and just calling it media, regardless of how you subscribe to it or if you can, and having them listen to it and check it out and then understand it. And then we say, this is a podcast, and yes, you can subscribe to it.
So you're all about bootstrapping the user experience.
Right, exactly. Initially with iPod RX, it was bootstrapping the method of downloading a podcast and then sticking it into something that you can listen to. And now we're going that next step and bringing in new people, new blood, new listeners, and improving that discovery model, which is still a problem that we need to be solved.
So how long has it been since you went with the public rollout?
It's been 2 months. It's been 2-3 months. Not long at all. We double traffic every month. And so, we're moving in the right direction.
And what's your short-term, mid-term, long-term goals with the site?
Well, we're always improving features and refining the process in order for you to discover things. We want to roll out new features that help figure out the longer term of a show. Sometimes I released one show that really resonated with a lot of users who want to show that better on the site. Right now, you can see what's hot right now and what was the best ever. But we kind of want to show that there was some movement in something in the past month where there hasn't been longer. So we can say, hey, there's some resurgence in one particular thing or not. So we want to show those kind of things a little bit more. But overall, we want to stay media focused. We're not going to change the news. We're not going to expand too much more beyond the original concept. So we're going to stay pure as possible to what we initially launched with.
Do you consider yourself a Web 2.0 brand company? Web 2.0 TM?
Are we going to get sued from O'Reilly by saying that? I'm not.
Screw those guys.
Okay. Yeah, you could say it's a Web 2.0. I mean, it uses all those things that, I mean, the color scheme is green and blue and with some black. It's flowy. It's very user-generated content. Sparse is the interface we get away from the user experience. We try to stay out of the user's way when they're trying to look at the content that we have. Those are all Web 2.0 concepts. I don't really care for the term. It's just it's a website, and we're just trying to help people get their stuff out there and get noticed.
My take on all this stuff is, call it what you will, I'm able to get things done really, really fast. So when people call this stuff hype, I said hype implies nothing's happening and I'm getting shit done really fast. So that ain't hype.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so, I mean, if you need to throw a term on it, Web 2.0, I mean, we had the same discussion previously, what, you know, calling podcasts. It's a term, it sticks. If that's what you want to say about the next generation of web applications, then we go with it.
Well, Ray, thank you for talking to me. Thank you for being the first sponsor. You were the man. You provided the seed money for the nefarious and far-reaching Evil Genius Media Empire.
And I'm never going to let it down that I had to buy my own shirt.
All right. I'll send your baby a shirt.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
That's right, folks. It never occurred to me to send Ray and August shirts. And Ray did, in fact, buy his own shirt. Never occurred to me to send him a shirt. That's the first. I'm a turd of a man. I'm a turd of a man. I'll admit it right here publicly. Thank you, Ray. And Ray's very Canadian. Did you catch that from Ray? I love Ray. God. I actually met Ray for the first time boarding the plane in Atlanta. I realized I should have worn some sort of podcasty shirt, and I had met Dave Jackson and Robin Maiden like at the gate. And then I realized, I've got all these damn stickers. Why don't I stick stickers to my backpack? And about 1 minute later, I hear this voice from behind me, Dave? And it was Ray Slikinski, who figured that if I had both an Evil Genius and an Amigo Fish sticker stuck to my backpack, it was probably me. So that's the first time I met Ray in person. All right, now here we go with Paul Kafasis from Rogue Amoeba. Take it away, Paul.
All right, I'm here with Paul from Rogue Amoeba at the Podcast and Portable Media Expo, and welcome to the show.
Thanks, good to be here.
Now, you were here last year. You were one of the people who took a gamble on a show nobody had any idea what the hell it was. So how has your experience been kind of this year and kind of year on year and in the intervening year?
Sure. I think it last year was a pretty small show, but we got pretty good attendance just because people were jazzed to see that there was something around podcasting. So anyone who was the slightest bit interested showed up for it. This year, I think we've seen better attendance. The big issue for us is that we're a Mac-only company, and this year it's been a lot more PC users. Last year was mostly Mac users. It was a largely Mac audience. So that hasn't helped us, but overall it means that podcasting is gaining some critical mass, hopefully. In the year in between, it's gone well for us. Audio Hijack Pro, our recording tool, has picked up a lot of steam as far as being used in podcasts. A year ago, it was used by a whole lot of podcasters, and even now it's used by, I'd say, maybe the same percentage of podcasters, which means a whole lot more people. So podcasting has been growing, and it's helped us as well.
Now, I had a time period where Audio Hijack Pro was part of my workflow. Now I have this external thing where I just record. I don't record on my same machine anymore, but I do still use Audio Hijack Pro when I capture audio off of, say, my DVR and things like that. So I am still a continuous, I've been a user of it for a year and a half or so. It seems like you guys stepped up in the early days of podcasting when people were, there was that horrible period of which I came in early enough to realize that, you know, that that where we were all in our shows explaining how we did this because it was so circuitous and so hard to do. And you guys were some one of the first companies that as a in your product lines began to make that easier. So was this, who was responsible for driving that?
I think you're absolutely right. It's interesting that you recognize that. It's something where there was demand there for a better podcasting tool, and we sort of went out and tried to create that. As far as who was responsible for driving the development of that, I think it was the very early podcasters. They knew we had a tool for recording, and Audio Hijack Pro worked for them, but it needed a lot more than what it currently had. And they said, you know, I need to be able to do X, Y, and Z. And we said, okay, how can we adapt the software and add on to it to create the possibility of using it for podcasting? Because originally, Audio Hijack Pro is about 3.5 years old now, and it wasn't originally designed for podcasting, obviously. And you're talking about using it for recording other things, and it still is used by a lot of people for other recordings. But because podcasters sort of embraced it and talked to us about it, we adapted the technology and improved what we had to make it useful for them.
Do you have any feel for, you may not have these statistics, but what percentage of your Audio Hijack Pro users are actually using it for podcasting?
You know, I honestly don't have any sort of numbers. The biggest usage for Audio Hijack Pro is definitely still recording streamed content. So if there's streams online, NPR, BBC, Car Talk, different streams like that, that's what people are using it for the most. But podcasting definitely is a large segment of our user base, which is great. Like I said, I don't have real numbers, but it's definitely a big enough chunk that, you know, we're here at the show promoting it for that usage. And people are using it for things like recording Skype interviews and things like that, which is, it's one of the best solutions for that. So we've definitely heard from a lot of people. They're definitely very vocal as well. So it's going well for us. And yeah, again, I don't have real numbers on it, but it's a big enough chunk that we recognize them.
I used it before and after your, like when you had the per application hijacking, and then I love the little plug-in, the effects, and as an old-time radio dude, still my favorite one is the VU bouncing meter needle plug-in that I never, you see, we're looking at this, and there's the bouncing LEDs, which will never be as satisfied as watching a needle go to the right in the red. You know, that's just, you know, it's just how it is. You know, Wolfman Jack looked at the needle going to the right.
Yeah, absolutely. It's we've got some plugins for the software, and that's just sort of a fun one. You know, it's not any more functional than the LED level meters, but exactly, people who've been on the radio and had a radio soundboard in front of them love seeing the little needle bouncing and making sure it's not going into the red too much or anything, and it's great. Yeah.
So you guys released Fission. We've already had, before the mic was on, we had a little talk about me being on 10.3. I can't use it. 10.4 only. Do you have other project lines in the pipeline, you know, projects, you know, in or out of the new media world?
Yeah, I think nothing that we can really talk about right now, but we certainly do have a couple more applications in development, really in early stages of development. Fission just came out about 10 days ago, so that's what was our main focus for the past few months. But definitely around more products around the audio arena, just in terms of recording and making things easier as far as the processes that we know people are going through for recording and things like that. So in the next, probably at the beginning of 2007, in the first few months, we'll see a new product from us. But I can't really comment on that too much. But stay tuned.
So now I follow the Rogan Megabo weblog. And so are you the one that writes those, or who writes most of those posts?
Most of them are probably from me. There's a few from other people. Quentin, one of our co-founders, Quentin and I, and Alex co-founded the company, and Quentin and I do most of the writings on there, yeah.
In the kind of post-blogosphere world of transparency and business, I'm always astounded. 37 Signals are freakishly open about a lot of their business process stuff. You guys are freakishly open. I think you're not to the specific numbers, but down to like trends and percentages and what days. I remember I was fascinated by the one about what day you get the most downloads. And so to me, that's just, when you put that out there, that actually is really elevating everyone's knowledge business. But it seems kind of weird and risky. I can see why people are nervous about doing that.
Sure. It's something where that information we felt was safe to put out there. We don't publish our exact sales numbers and things like that. But you're talking about one post where it was actually our sales increased on the weekend for for a specific product. Airfoil sells about 2-to-1 on the weekends. About 55% of its sales are on Saturday and Sunday. So it's a hobbyist weekend type of product, apparently. So it was interesting for us to see that and to notice that this was possible. So yeah, it's something where, you know, we're just hoping to sort of provide data for people to analyze and to look at and provide information. And hopefully it brings in some people who are interested by it, and it brings in some hits and causes more sales to happen. But ideally, it's just out there to just sort of increase the general knowledge. Yeah.
You're sitting right next to the Gigavox Media things. Have you seen their Levelator?
I've heard about it. Everybody's saying it's great. We haven't had a chance to look at it just yet. Have you tried it?
I'm probably trying it on this dang thing. When this is published, we will probably have been through Levelator, just in case we're not at the same level. You should, I don't know, I guess you don't need to bundle it, but to me, I see kind of like a great sort of almost ecology amongst all these companies. You know, you get together, you work together. It's not nearly as cutthroat as it could be. That's what I love about this.
Well, it's a whole lot of smaller companies, so, you know, we if we had infinite resources, might want to have solutions for every single thing people are trying to do, like normalization of their audio and incredibly high-tech normalization. But because we're a smaller company, we don't want to attack all those fronts. And they're a smaller company, I assume. I don't know too much about them. But so they don't necessarily want to have a recording product as well. They're just focusing on this aspect of it. So yeah, it sort of works out well because people wind up working together instead of against each other.
Well, thank you very much for talking to me, and thanks very much for stepping up and helping make this world happen.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, that was Paul Kafasis from Rogue Amoeba. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. I was all wired. I'm talking way too much in these interviews, but and my voice was really cracking bad there. But and I should point out that this was not levelated because I can't get the levelator to run on 10.3. Same problem I have with Fission, by the way. You don't upgrade your OSs, and suddenly the world leaves you behind. Okay, let us keep the train a-rollin'. This new world of less farting around, less talk, more rock, except the rock is talk. Okay, next interview is with Garrick Van Buren of First Crack Podcast. Let's roll.
All right, we're here at Podcast and Portable Media Expo with Garrick Van Buren of Name Your Couple Podcast. Garrick?
Got the firstcrackpodcast.com and Garrick's Fastcast at garrickvanburen.com/fastcast.
Now, you are one of the people, you specifically have helped me back down my number. When I said I would keep doing this if 50 people listen, and I've come all the way back down to zero, and your thinking and your kind of post on this actually kind of got me thinking in that direction. So kind of tell me that thinking from your side of the fence, from what you came up with.
Right, so that's a great question, is at what number would I stop podcasting? And that number to me is one, because I'm, as you mentioned in your talk, there's a bit about this to me is I'm creating the information that I want to hear. I'm creating the audio that I would love to listen to. I just happen to be producing it. And so if I'm not interested in hearing what I'm producing, then I should just stop. And I think that's one of the reasons why I've not done a show in a while. Is that I got to find something that I want to hear, and I don't. And the great thing about RSS is there's no real notion. To me, there's no real notion of ever being done. I can just throw something up there, and it's there, and I can keep doing that indefinitely. You don't ever have to kill a show. You just might not publish in a while. And
if it goes 2 years between shows, and people, you know. Probably unlikely they still have the same aggregator at this stage of the game, but if someone's still subscribed, they're still going to get your show whenever.
Exactly. Absolutely. And there's something in there about things that can persist indefinitely. As long as there's new information being added, we can keep this thing going on. Why does it have to die? Why do we have to bring in that scarcity model of a dead show or what have you, right? And I think Star Trek's a great example. Star Trek was only really on for a couple of seasons, yet it turned 40, right? It's just because of the demand for interesting things, and the people that the love of it that kept going for 40 years has kept that thing alive. You know, does it matter if there won't be another movie or another conference or another TV series? No, because there'll always be the fan fiction. And if I find something interesting, I have something interesting to say, I can put on a podcast, and I can do whatever I want with that, and it's there. And the great thing about it, I think, is that it's much for me as it is for my listeners. And if I'm the only listener, it's still for me, because I've had some very fun, interesting afternoons where I sort of re-listen to my Fastcast. So here's 2 minutes of my thought at a moment And then you, at some time in the future, 6 months, a year, 5 years from now, you re-listen to those. Where were you at those moments? What were those thoughts going through your head? Is it still the same things? Has it changed? How is your perspective different? And that's great for me. That would be great for, you know, families. That's a way to capture the now for later.
And now I always think of First Crack as being what you would call a hyper-local podcast. You know, you essentially focus on interviewing people from almost exclusively from your immediate vicinity, like your neighborhood and the places you go, and you get their stories, and you know, focusing heavily on beer and coffee. So, you know, the Minneapolis connection lives. You know, if you're gonna do that, beer and coffee, you might as well.
Right. Absolutely. And to me, it's rare that I have to interview somebody that's further away than a bicycle trip. And I think there's something huge with that, in that there are millions of stories all within a walk and within a bike ride of people that don't know how to get their stories out there. And to me, First Crack is very much beer, coffee, hyper-local. Here's what's happening in the Twin Cities. Here's some great stories that you probably, that aren't going to get covered anywhere else, that are, you know, independent coffee houses, independent bike shops. It's this feeling of independence. And small projects, and they're somewhat invigorating. And to know that, you know, whether it's a podcast or a coffee shop or a brewery, you can figure out how to make that happen on your terms, small.
One of the ones, so obviously I've never even, other than I think changing planes in the Twin Cities once, I've never even been to Minneapolis. I actually feel a somewhat of an existing connection to the place just from having heard you. I mean, I actually kind of feel like I understand your neighborhood a little. I've heard these crazy nuts with their, you know, brewing and their, yeah, and their beer. One of the ones that I loved was that idea, was the peanut butter and jelly sandwich store.
Oh, exactly. Like, there's a company in Minneapolis that is doing gourmet peanut butter, like peanut butter with stuff in it. And they're in the Mall of America, and they're doing these crazy, crazy sandwiches with peanut butter. You have a peanut butter sandwich, but they've gone to the nth level to it. And it's got fresh ingredients and blah, blah, blah. They've just gone crazy with it. And I had no idea it existed, because I'm never going to go to that mall, for crying out loud. But they're local, and so, but you know, why pick the mall for that? Why do it here? Why not start it on the coast? And so there's lots of stories in here about how people make their decisions about how they're going to spend their days. And there's an interesting project everywhere. I mean, I think Twin Cities is an extremely interesting city, but you know, all cities have their stories. I just talk to the Hometown Tales guys, they'll tell you.
And so you know, you were at my talk. Of all the various motivations that I talked over, which one is the one that you that drives you? Is it the framework for the conversation, or which kind of things drive you?
So there's two points. One is the framework for the conversation, so the whole thing about being able to talk to people, you know, for no reason, right? If I just said, well, I'm usually fairly successful in saying, can I have coffee with you? I want to talk about this. Once I've said it's for my podcast, it's through the roof. Absolutely. You know, because, you know, they get coverage out of it. It's, you know, one of my motivations with the First Crack podcast is to be the second Google result for whoever I talk to. Because then you're getting, the goal is you're getting their story in their voice, in the way that they like to talk about it when you're searching for them. And put them back in control of their internet presence. And some of the people I talk to have no internet presence. So oftentimes, our conversation is the only thing that comes up. And to me, that is a huge win, to get something as authentic and as personable as a podcast conversation as the search result for them. And it's also a way to get the programming, the audio, the conversations, the things that I'm interested in hearing. So it's those two points.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me and for generally being a dude.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, that was Garrick Van Buren, and I'm calling an audible here, and I'm changing. I was going to do one more interview, but, you know, I'm trying to keep these. Half an hour is my new goal. You know, I've been hovering in the 40 to 50-minute vicinity, and, you know, everyone that starts a podcast, I think the length doubles after they do it for a while. Even like the Daily Gizwiz is like 20 minutes an episode now. Started at I think 5 minutes or 4 minutes. But thank you, Garrick. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Ray Slikinski. My mind is shot so much I can't even remember back 20 minutes ago. And we'll keep the last one. The last interview is a really good one. We'll keep that in the pocket. We'll do another show sooner. And I still have the Doug Kay and Robert Scoble interviews I mentioned. Still have that kind of hummy thing, and I haven't had a chance to do the noise reduction. We'll see if we can fix that. And if so, I got one more good show of about this size with interviews. And again, the disclaimer, there are women everywhere. I don't know what the hell my problem was that I didn't interview any women. Normally, it is highly unlike me to miss a chance to talk to a woman, with or without a microphone. That's pretty much what consumes my every waking moment. So I don't know what my deal was. All right, here we go. Let's play one ID and then get the hell out of here.
Hi, this is Corey Doc.
Oh, that was way too loud. Let's do this again.
Chronicles.
Let's do this again.
Hi, this is Corey Doctorow, and you're listening to the Evil Genius Chronicles.
That was Corey Doctorow from Inside the Bucket. Thank you, Paul Fisher, for that getting that ID for me. All right, friends and neighbors, the show is sponsored by Amigo Fish. Let's move some money from the right pocket to the left. Amigo Fish is where you go for your recommendation, your nuclear-powered recommendation. If you are not already inundated with new media, podcasts, and video blogs, you can be. AmigoFish.com. Rate some stuff, get some more stuff, and drink from the fire hose that is the Citizen Media. I don't know what that's for. Okay, thank you for listening. Part two of the Portable Media Expo Roundup. I am completely and totally exhausted 8 days after I got home. That's just the life in the big city. I can't figure out how I did not fall over at the expo itself. If I was this fatigued when I got back. I guess no sleep, lots of alcohol, talking more or less 18 hours straight every day. That'll do it to you. That might take it out of you a little bit. Okay. All right, I'm out. By the way, the New York Yankees are out in the first round of the baseball playoffs. I'm a happy bastard. If the Braves can't be in it, screw the Yankees. Glad to see them go. Bye. Dave Slusher, Evil Genius Chronicles. Oh, dslusher@gmail.com, evilgeniuschronicles.org. Thank you for listening. Bye. This is the least smooth exit ever.